Welcome to Southpaws, episode 475, Antifa Attack Animals.
The AAA, baby.
Are you up to speed? Are you training your local woodland critters to attack fascists? You should be.
I have a team of squirrels to go after their nut.
I've got a couple of field coyotes ready to go and piss on any truck that has a Trump bumper sticker. And eat.
Yeah, you do. You see yotes all the time over there, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've only seen them like twice, and there was only the two together that one time where I was walking in the field and suddenly a yote pops up and looks at me, and I'm like, uh-oh. Hey, Adam, let's go the other way.
Yeah.
That was thankfully it.
Poor Adam is snack-sized.
He is, and he thinks he's so big. One of our neighbors has a Ridgeback. They're big, big, massive-sized dogs, and Adam at it, and the Ridgeback just kind of looks at him like, are you a cat? I'm a big dog. But yes, this is a screenshot of Facebook warning people that Antifa is training wild animals. My uncle, who is a cop a few towns over, told me that those lost souls in Antifa, all caps, are training small woodland critters to attack hikers. There are so many trails in the area. I want to let people know what this group is doing to corrupt not only our children, but our wildlife. Raccoons and weasels are their most common targets. Good luck out there. Hashtag Trump 2020. Crimea River Snowflake, love it or leave it, and Antifa is anti-USA. And it's like, you're telling on yourself a lot.
Yeah.
And it was posted to, Nextdoor. It's posted in general to 14 neighborhoods. So I guess that's Nextdoor.
Wow.
Where you want to know, it's local Twitter, where you find out all your neighbors are insanely racist.
Yeah.
I saw another variant of that.
Yeah.
Where they were like, make sure that you don't leave any hiking poles, because raccoons can use them as spears.
They're evolving. They've learned to use simple tools.
They got their wee, grabby little paws.
Yep.
You know, hand a raccoon a knife and they can just gut some hikers. I mean, you've seen those videos that Noxie was posting of one of Shiva's cats playing with a knife.
No, so, I didn't.
This cat had grabbed a plastic handled knife and was laying on the floor rubbing on it. And it's like, that's incredibly dangerous, kitty. Don't do that.
Serrated edges, purr, purr, purr.
It's like, this thing is sharp and dangerous like I am.
This is making me think of the that little comic. They're like, are you a boy or a girl? I'm a raccoon. What's in your pants?
A knife.
Oh, no.
It has been yet another week here in the U.S. where we're all hanging in there as best we can. We've had some okay news, some annoying news, some real fucked up news. And today I tried to play with the people trying to upgrade their video cards on launch day, and that was not great.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about they sent you a, oh my god, we're launching today email like an hour and a half after they sold out on the website or something.
Yeah. I mean, I was up really early this morning and like F5ing waiting for things. Like, even Panther Note is like, you're up really early. And I was like, well, 3080 launch day, I'm going to try to get one. And I completely failed because the botters got to them first.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, like they didn't have a bunch. And then the same motherfuckers that bought purchase like sneakers and stuff turned that on for PlayStation 5s and NVIDIA 3080 cards. So like all the pre-orders got immediately sold out at Walmart and immediately sold out on all the video cards on the various sites. And like I looked all over the place too. Newegg, and I actually used my phone and called Altex. I called a store on my phone and was like, are you guys going to be getting any of these? And they're like, not anytime soon. I'm like, well, thanks for letting me know. I appreciate it. Because I mean, Altex is a tiny little chain. They're only here in Texas. They're primarily like server architecture stuff. So you can get the real esoteric shit, like the weird connectors and stuff. But they do have some video cards. And it's like, who will go there? Well, the cards aren't there, so nobody, apparently. And when I went to pick up lunch today, I went to the Whataburger off Montfort and stopped by the Best Buy there, walked in, looked at it. They're like queso cards. Didn't have a sticker, didn't have a sign, obviously didn't have any. And on the way out, I just asked like the two, you know, employees loitering by the door, like, did you guys even get any? And they're like, nah, dude, we didn't get anything. Like, people have been mad at us all day. And it's like, well, it's not your fault. And I was like, yeah, but people don't believe that. I was like, yeah, well, what can you do? And I left. But it was just like, yeah, not surprising. I mean, I remember back in the day when I was working at Toys R Us for the launch of the Xbox 360, people were some damn psychos. Like, I got threatened by a gang of teenagers who were like, I know you got more in the back. And I'm like, dude, if I had more in the back, I would sell you more. I promise. I'm paid like fuck all.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? I was like, please leave.
Well, you're going to take them home and eBay them for twice retail price. Or
they didn't let us do that, actually. Like, we had to, like, they were only selling bundles and they're only doing this, that, and the other, and they couldn't let the employees buy them because we only got four on launch week.
Yeah.
So what's the retail on this video card?
$700.
Fuck.
Yeah, they're expensive toys.
Wow. Then again, I've been out of the game. Well, I haven't built a computer in like 8 years and priced that out. So I don't really know what like is average or expected or
I mean, I paid $650 for the 1080 that's in my current machine in 2016. So, I mean, it's 4-year-old card and like all the benchmarks, like it's about 150% better at the same stuff. And I was like, all right, that's cool. I mean, if I get one, I get one. If not, I'm not like champing at the bit to upgrade. Like, I'll do it if I can, but I'm not like the dudes waiting in line at the Micro Center here in Dallas that like I saw a screen cap and I posted it to Twitter where like people were waiting in line overnight and then they only got 18 cards and the asshole at the front of the line wanted to buy all 18 and was fighting with the manager over it. Like, you entitled piece of shit, fuck you. You're either a Buttcoin scumbag or an eBay scumbag. Either way, you're a total scumbag. Fuck you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, fuck that.
So that was basically my, like, this is my incredibly first world problem of the podcast, is that, wow, I tried to purchase a thing. The thing was a major clusterfuck of a launch. I did not buy the thing. I might buy one later. Oh, well.
So 18 times 750 is $13,500?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, the thing is, with the botters, people were managing to purchase, like, 30 or 40 cards because they know that they can flip them on eBay for at least 2x MSRP in most cases. Like one dude was saying, I saw on Twitter, because NVIDIA was not shipping anything out immediately and reviewing orders, and they were like, oh, if this all came from the same IP, we're going to give you one and cancel the rest of your order. So one dude is like, yeah, I had like 30 cards canceled on me or some incredible amount, and that leaves like $30,000 of his just in the void that he can't use to buy cocaine or something. And I'm like, oh, poor little rich fuck.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like, my heart is not bleeding for this.
Like, oh, I couldn't buy these things and flip them like I flip all the fancy sneakers. Like, apparently, this is one of those things that I run in the wrong groups to know about, but sneakerheads are apparently
a thing
where people will, like, line up and use apps and stuff to buy sneakers and then flip them. And so, like, you got to get these super, like, you make 200 pairs of these shoes or whatever. It's like, all right, man.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing either until, like, I don't know, like a year or two ago or something, because Kanye was in the news yet again at that point because he dropped some new shoe and people were losing their minds over it. And oh, and there was like a football player or somebody who was like, who had like a pair of these shoes for like every day of the year or something like that. Or the rumor was that he only wore them once and then threw them away. And they were like $200 shoes. So like to you and me, that would be like a lot of money. But to people that are used to pay like a lot more than that for sneakers, they're relatively inexpensive, I guess.
I mean, these people live in their own other reality. And what's apparently funny is one of the most sought after pairs of shoes were the whatever type that the Heaven's Gate guys were wearing when they committed suicide, because Nike immediately discontinued that set. So it was a very limited amount of this one type of sneaker that,
so I guess they had good taste in sneakers no matter what else was going on. If there were sneakers that people wanted.
Well, it was just like, because the photos that came out were all of just like their Nike sneaker clad feet covered in sheets during all the photos when all that happened. Like, people went out to buy it, but Nike was like, oh no, this is terrible. And then discontinued and recalled all the remaining shoes of that type because of the association with a suicide cult.
Yeah.
So the weirder shit has happened. So
I think in the long run, though, that probably wouldn't have happened. I mean, they're so associated with sports. I don't think people would start thinking of them as like the suicide shoe or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, at the time, this was like the late 90s or the mid 90s.
Oh, yeah. No, it's absolutely a good thing for them to do. But yeah, they probably did it more out of like looking like they cared about civic responsibility than any actual threat to their bottom line. But yeah, that sucks. The whole bot thing like ruins shit for everybody. It's like, I remember having to be like super fast back in the day buying concert tickets for my mom.
Yeah,
she was not as technically adept as I was. It really just comes down to like hammering the F5 key and being able to type a little bit faster. But
well, like what sucks like, is that
scalpers, you know.
These guys are using bots that they pay $75 a month to get access to that directly go through the API and not the website. So at 8 a.m., Best Buy's page went down, Newegg's page went down, Nvidia's page went down, and EVGA's website just went down. And then when they finally came back up, it was also down.
Wow.
Like, it sucked. Because again, I woke up pretty early relative to me and was here just ready to F5 it just in the off chance. Like, I wasn't super set. I was like, if I can get it, cool. If not, eh. But, like,
right.
People have been flipping their shit online today because of it. Which, I mean, it's understandable. But I also see some total idiots that, like, I sold my car to buy this one. And it's like, why would you do that? You sell the card after you buy the new one. Because if you don't have a video card, you're not playing any video games.
And now I'm stuck using onboard video and I can't play anything.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been one of those things where it's like, I touched upon a world that I don't normally do and go,
yeah.
Wow, this is wild. Eh.
Huh.
Yeah, so that was my, like, encounters with the tech nerds.
Yeah, but it does show that assholes will try to, like, just bilk any opportunity they can, will fuck over anything good, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, people are excited about Thing, and Thing can be just about anything, and someone will be like, I'm going to buy them all and then charge double.
I mean, people did that for My Little Pony stuff back in the day. Like,
yeah.
Rare Funko horses. People would go in, buy a bunch, and pop them up on eBay at double MSRP.
Like, and somewhat more recently, people were doing that with the Switch as well.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the Animal Crossing Special Edition.
People buy them with the intent to flip, and it's like, just, I want to buy one for me. Like, I got my Switch like a month after launch only because they popped up on Amazon from actual Amazon and not the, like, $500 markup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what sucks also is that Amazon has allowed some of the marketplace sellers to list their scalped cards. So there's been a couple of people, like, listing cards for $1,500 that MSRP for $699. So, capitalism ho. So it doesn't help that there's, you know, really nothing else for people to do than be really online. Like,
right, yeah. And playing video games is one of the things that people can do to, like, pass the time when you're not going and hanging out with friends or going to concerts or football games or anything.
Yeah, and, like, so, it's finally getting to feel nice outside. Mm-hmm. So, like, I was saying tonight would have been the first hookah patio night of this season. But
yeah.
We don't live in a good world anymore. So, because like I was walking Adam before we started and I was like, oh my God, it is so nice outside. It's like 70 degrees and it was only like 80 earlier today. And so I was sitting out there with him listening to podcasts and Adam was just chilling at my feet, warming himself in the sun. It was really pleasant. Like, I've been sitting out on my patio like an old man reading my Kindle.
We've had work going on our house for like a week and a half now. We got our siding replaced and they also did like a bunch of painting. They're finally wrapping that up. So like last night I sat out on my patio for a while because it was like, oh, it's not all tore up now. It's been painted. It was nice. Just chill it out there. But it's been a little stressful because, you know, you'll be working and you'll be hearing all this banging and drilling and hammering and shit like that. And poor Ajax's work desk is like right next to one of our patios, the kitchen one.
Uh-huh.
So like he was on a call this morning as they were finishing up something over there and it was just So it must have been awful to be on the phone right then. They were banging away.
Yeah, that's rough.
It's nice now finally be able to sit out on the patio and chill once it gets down to that temperature.
It's just that.
Which now it's really irritating now because, yeah, I would love to see you guys in person and have a patio cast. Or, hey, come over and have hookah and chill out on the patio. Oh, well.
Yep. And kind of bummer news, there was an article that I found linked. It was from CNBC on the 16th. It was like, breaking, CDC says U.S. should have enough coronavirus vaccine to return to regular life by third quarter of 2021.
Yeah.
So we only have to look forward to this shit for another goddamn year.
The other article I saw, it actually said something, Americans can expect to return to quote-unquote normal life by the end of 2021. Because once they get the vaccine, they're like, it's going to be very controlled. Like, there's going to be, like, high-risk people will get it, of course, frontline people. And it's going to take months to get through everybody. And, like, worldwide, there are talking about the literal billions of doses that they'll have to make because there's, 7.5 billion people on the planet, and it takes 2 shots to work. So
that's a lot.
We're suddenly asking the companies that make vaccines and shit like that to pump out combined 15 billion doses of a brand new thing. So.
Yeah, and that's assuming that we actually get a good effective one because we still haven't reached that point yet. But yeah, you said, Fuzz, like, yeah, you were saying that 2021 is going to be another year without cons, right? Things are going.
Pretty much, yeah.
So
that's what I predicted, and I was like, want to be right, but just looking at the way, like, the majority of furry cons are in America.
Yep.
Or in the United States. And I'm like, we do not have our shit together in this country. We are, you know, treading water. We're not flattening this curve, or we're not reducing this at all. Still, like, hundreds of new cases a day locally. I mean, we're fucked. You know, we're not doing anything. We just sort of let a virus run roughshod over our country for, like, a fucking year, you know?
Yeah, and, like, this is month 7.
The people in power knew about it. Yeah.
When I was, like I said, when I went out to get lunch today, there's one of those little pop-up Montessori schools, which are fairly unregulated, I guess, and there was just, like, 30 goddamn kids on the playground having recess, and I was just like, oh, my God.
Wow.
So that's where we're at. Like, our governor is just kind of like, you know, the Onion article is like, Dallas has moved on to stage 4, pretending coronavirus doesn't exist. And, well, that's apparently how our state is going. So do not expect to attend conventions, right? Things are going until 2021, unless you live in Europe, because they have their shit more together.
In which case, if you're American, you're not going to be allowed to go to Europe for a furry con.
Yep. The UK is probably in a bad spot, too.
Yeah, unless you have, like, a month of PTO, so you can, like, you go to Europe, be quarantined for 14 days, and then go to the con, and then come home. Because there's some countries that are like, yeah, we'll let Americans in, but you have to be isolated for 2 weeks before we actually let you into the rest of the country. And
I don't blame you one bit.
So they're not going to let you go to, like, Eurofurds or Confuzzled or to fucking forget about the Canadian cons too. Like, you know how freaked Canada's gotta be with having us as their fucking neighbor? Right.
Oh yeah.
Now?
And, like, from what I've heard is that they're gonna keep the border closed for the foreseeable future. So
yeah.
There will be no Canadian furry cons for Americans.
If Canada is under control in the near future as far as their own spread of COVID, there might be Canadian cons for Canadians. But, yeah, they're not going to let Americans over the border for a long time. So, you're an American furry. Sorry.
Yep, we just get to hold that cold realization to our chest.
Yeah, it's really weird, you know? Because I guess Tiered points out, said to me, it's like a major part of his life.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And it's like, yeah, I guess for us, it really is. It's what we use all of our vacation time on. Where furries being a very internet community, you know, we have more friends to hang out with at furry cons from far-flung places than we probably do locally. Because our friends are just from fucking everywhere.
Yeah.
Know? And yeah, this is like a major chunk of our lives is just stop. You know, it's just on pause for probably like 2 years, you know?
You know, and we've covered this a lot, but it's just like seeing it when you kind of know it in the back of your head, but then you actually see it on like paper, as it were.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, it's kind of funny and kind of sad also, because like part of the reason that I was just sort of not even balking too much about purchasing a 3080 is that, well, I haven't been spending any money going to cons this year, so I guess I can treat myself to this.
I mean, yeah, fair enough, you know. No money for trains, planes, or automobiles, yeah. Which I've still been taking my vacation time, though. Like, I don't have, like, a big fucking backlog of vacation time like Darren does, because I've needed the mental health days.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, like for but Labor Day weekend was the weekend we would have been in Memphis. So I had Thursday and Friday as PTO days, and then Monday was the Labor Day holiday. And I just kept the PTO days, and I just worked on more for Planet/Argos stuff.
Yep.
That's basically what I'm doing. And like, I'm keeping up with the orders continually. Probably need to order some more stock again, actually, because it's interesting. I get how our business model has sort of changed a little bit. Like, I'm keeping real close track of the inventory because, you know, it takes like 10 days to get in, and ordering as we go. We don't have these massive boom and busts. Like, we don't order literally hundreds and hundreds of books at a shot because, hey, we're going to Xvention and we're going to sell like 3 online sales worth in one weekend. You know, we don't have that anymore. So it's, our economics are a little bit different.
Hey, I mean, we got to adjust as best we can and, you know, not get to the point where like, Jesus Christ, these furries, shut the fuck up. I hate you now. Bye.
Yeah.
You know?
Honestly, our fucking saving grace is really the post office, you know? Somebody tweeted at the For Planet account today saying, like, oh, you guys are awesome. I already got my order. And even with COVID and everything, it didn't take long to get to Canada. And I was like, wow, that's fucking amazing.
Awesome.
It's like, I'm turning around the orders as quick as I can. But once it leaves my hands, you know, it's out of my control as to how quickly it gets to you. And so the post office, as beleaguered and underfunded and overworked as they are, and being actively sabotaged by the government, are still getting the mail out there. And, you know, depending on where you are and what sorting facilities it has to go through, it'll get affected. But, you know, especially for international people, like, because I'd heard of, there's been some people in Canada have been like, yeah, sat in the Chicago sorting facility for a month, you know, before it got over the border and made it to them. So I've had a couple of furry business owner chats and, you know, talking about how their shipments are going and everything. But, you know, the post office is working really hard. It's the backbone of American small business.
They're doing their damnedest.
And they're doing their damnedest. I mean, at least for me, I can say I've had probably a minimal amount of issue. Like, the worst thing we had to deal with was there was a couple of times where we get to the post office and the drop box where the overnight box where we put all of our packages was locked up or out of order because nobody was working late to clear out the pile of packages in the bin or whatnot. And that seems to have largely gone away, at least up here in this area. But I know other parts of the state, because Ellen, who owns Radio Comic, who also ships out orders, she was tweeting this, and she had to go to like 8 post offices and was unable to find one to get their orders out. Like, all of those boxes were either marked as out of order or they were just jammed shut. There was one post office where the order drawer was, the package drawer was jammed shut, and someone had just left their packages stacked up in the lobby next to it. And it's like, yeah, no, fuck that.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah, it really does. You know, yeah, stealing mail is a federal crime, but it's not like anyone's going to be able to prosecute it right now anyway. So
pretty much.
We've been really lucky, and I'm very grateful for the post office. And I can say at least we're supporting them. I'm throwing thousands of dollars at them for shipping. So, yay, you know, buy more stamps. It's a pity you can't get the Last Week Tonight stamps anymore. We've got like one sheet of them, but they're like the special order thing where you can customize stamps and order them. They apparently stopped doing that.
No, that's a shame.
Yeah, which I kind of imagine that like the dickhead in charge, the Postmaster General, was probably like, oh, they're making extra money because of this. We have to stop doing that. I wouldn't put it past them. He's getting a lot of flack for it, though, thankfully, because wherever you are on the political spectrum, people love the post office. And even if they're voting Republican, there's some rural seniors where the USPS is the only service that comes to their location in the middle of nowhere. And don't fuck with that. You know, especially not when people are getting Social Security checks and medication in the mail. Like, the fuck do you do? Support the post office.
So, hey, you guys remember the that Venn diagram that came out and the developments in like capitalism in 2014? It was this horrible Venn diagram that kind of came true. And
it's never a good thing.
Yes. Yeah, so there was three circles. White nationalists, bronies, and people who reference memes IRL. Now, this post was in late 2013, early 2014. So the bronies and the white nationalists combined to make the Dark Enlightenment. White nationalists and people who reference memes IRL became TFW, no GF, which incels. The bronies and people who reference memes 9GAG and 4chan will unite, creating 13chag. Didn't quite happen, but it did happen in the splitting off into the 8chan/8kun. So that came true too. And then the intersecting overlap, the upcoming reactionary movement that we saw in 2014 through 2016 that was part of the meme magic brigade that helped ruin reality. So here in 2020, we've got ourselves some a new horrible Venn diagram that again seems to be coming true, at least to some degree. So we've got the TERFs, the woke satanic panic, e.g. the satanic Airbnb thread where the guy told skeptics they were dismissing his lived experience. And on the bottom there, extremely sex-negative fandom kids who think it's the same as actual pedophilia to draw fan art of a 21-year-old anime boy with his shirt off. And it's like, oh no, all these groups are intersecting because the woke satanic panic and the TERFs are joined together to create certain QAnon outgrowths. If you've heard of the hashtag save the children, hashtag save our children, they're soft woke QAnon. It's literally the whole thing. I've talked about it at some length about like these people who honestly believe that there's like billionaire vampires harvesting children's adrenochrome and or blood to keep their vigorous youth. And I just listened to an episode about one of the people that organized those rallies that occurred around the country and across the world. And he's like some 25-year-old kid who was like a SoundCloud rapper in LA who went full QAnon and right-wing Trumper over a very short period of time. And so then you have the TERFs with the sex-negative fandom kids teaming up to create the exclus. These are the exclusionary people. These are the kids who post their memes to Instagram and they're like, I hate ace people, or they don't belong under the LGBT umbrella, or I hate trans people, they're not real, that kind of nonsense.
Wait, like, not that they're not the gender they say they are, they're literally not real? Like,
they're saying that they're just faking it for attention.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's the kind of people these kids are. There was a very short-lived but very cursed Twitter account called Cursed Instacourse, which was basically horrible Instagram memes with, like, Danganronpa kids, which are, you know, it's a video game fuzz. A character from a video game, which is popular with this age group, with just reactionary bullshit, but it was, like, sparkly and cute. What's this? Panther has sent me a message. Ah, yes. Cubers believe this man sacrifices children to maintain his eternal youth, and it's a picture. Is that Sheldon Adelson? Oh, it's George Soros. Yeah.
I legit thought you said Cubert sacrifices children. I was like, well, that's a really weird remake on that video game, but okay.
Hey, you know, they had to do the gritty reboot here in 2020, you know, just jumping on squares and getting powerballs just wasn't enough. He had to, like, the fake swearing had to be actual swearing, and then he, like, stomps on children. Oh my god, the balls are adrenochrome, you have to help him harvest it. Oh my god. They say that about, you know, people that look like living rotten skeletons like Prince Andrew. Like, I'm sure that dude's up to some deep, dark, evil shit, but probably not torturing children to suck down their adrenochrome.
No, probably just to fuck them if he, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he's just an old rich pedophile, allegedly.
Right, yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly, in Minecraft. And then you've got the woke satanic panic teaming up with the sex-negative fandom kids to the good witches who believe the Airbnb allegations and said the problem was a consent violation. These are these TikTok witches have hexed the moon types, which then all intersects into an upcoming reactionary movement. And I'm like, boy, howdy, I've already seen most of this, and I wonder what that horrible brown color triple intersect is going to be. Because, like, we've already got a little bit of the sex-negative fandom kids going on.
I have to stop you for a second. I really feel like I'm in the Darmok episode of Star Trek The Next Generation, where, thanks to the Universal Translator, we are both speaking the same language. However, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well,
a lot of it is like, wait, what? What the fuck?
I admit that this is all incredibly online bullshit. But the thing is, the online bullshit is leaking out into the real world. When you have people screaming about save the children, throwing out things like 800,000 children go missing every year, and giving that without context, implying that 800,000 children just vanish into the ether every year, when it's just, that's how many reports get, you know, missing and reported children, 97%. Of those kids are found the same day. Like, actual kidnappings are incredibly rare, and more often than not, it's family members or estranged parents, or like, I don't have custody, I'm staking my kids.
Yeah.
Not.
I was listening to a, so Michael Hobbs, who is one of the two hosts of the You're Wrong About podcast, was a guest on the QAnon Anonymous podcast.
Uh-huh.
And the QAnon Anonymous podcast is a show that basically tells you what crazy shit QAnon is up to now. They brought him on to talk about this current fake satanic panic. The QAnon is perpetuating this idea of the 800,000 kids go missing every year, and they're all being sex trafficked and so forth. And anyway, like, they did like a whole thing on You're Wrong About human trafficking, and how it's basically, it's like, it's rare, it happened, but it's not actually a thing. And they had him on this other QAnon show to talk about it. So I just listened to this.
Yeah, and I actually haven't listened to that one, but I did listen to the You're Wrong About. And the thing is, like, yeah, the trafficking is real in certain cases. But the problem is when the people start saying, these children are being trafficked because they're being blood sacrifices for Moloch. Or,
yeah, like, that takes it to a whole other fucking level. That's where the satanic panic thing comes in. And for those of you who are younger than old people like Saverin and I, the satanic panic was a 1980s thing where, like, they literally thought that kids playing Dungeons and Dragons were trying to summon up
actual demons.
You get involved with witchcraft, stuff like that.
I actually found on YouTube, because I was talking and referencing the current moral panic in the furry fandom about, you know, which is the best type of porn, which is morally okay type porn, to a satanic panic. And I was looking and found that on YouTube, there are actually some of the old VHSs of, like, Terror in the Toy Box, where they go through all these popular toys and tell you about all the deep, dark, satanic things that are wrong with, like, Masters of the Universe and Skeletor's voice changer and the Snake Mountain Castle playset, or, or Strawberry Shortcake, or whatever. And it's like, find the satanic message. They can find satanic messages in everything, because when everything looks like a nail and all you have is a hammer, you're just going to go wild. And this old brainworm, and this started 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and it's just coming back in a new form. It's so bizarre to see, oh my God, it's happening again.
And it's even more dangerous now, because it's not just 90s email chains or literal chain letters and fucking 2020 and Oprah and Dr. Phil pushing these ideas. It's like, it's Facebook groups and it's Twitter, and it's just more shit going into the minds of the perpetually brain poisoned.
Yeah. I mean, we already had somebody try to shoot up Comic Ping Pong. That was in 2017. And I'm sure that there has been more violence since then, like specifically related to this. God, there was... Oh, yeah, I was listening to... It was a QAnon Anonymous episode. I don't know if it was the one of the premiums or not, where they were talking about how, like, pizza places, because, you know, pizza, ooh, it's actually a code word, and how, like, there was this place in France named, like, Pizza Girl, and all of their names were, like, Place Girl. And it's like, for pizzas, like, you know, it's a $20 pizza or 20 euro pizza that people in Europe were like, oh my god, you're paying $20 to access this girl named blah and also get a pizza. So, like, America has exported our brainworms overseas.
Well, I mean, do you remember a few years ago that people, like, threw rocks through the windows of a pediatrician because they thought pediatrician meant pedophile?
Oh, yeah.
It's the same sort of stupid, really stupid thing. And God, Savrin, it's so depressing, you know?
We live in just deeply weird times. Like,
yeah,
you know, if this is the kind of time where, like, you'd have, in a TV show, it'd be like, oh no, we've got to find this object of power that's corrupting, like, the internet. And turns out it's like, oh, it's, you know,
the cursed router.
A cursed router in the backbone. It's like, oh no, this was owned by the first troll, and it's, you know, the Warehouse 13 people have to come in and get it, you know? In a shitty B movie, that would be the cause, and it suddenly that would fix everything. But unfortunately, we are not in the world of Warehouse 13 or Control or the like. It's just people have to latch onto something, and cognitive dissonance has kicked in, so clearly, things are not getting better, even though their dude's in charge, so it has to be the shadowy cabal. Though, speaking of Control, I did finish that game. Extremely good. Oh. The final boss of the last DLC is basically fucking Slenderman, which is kind of cool. It's a shadow, like a shadow monster that you have to turn the lights on to hurt, and it's this actually really hard bit. Like, I paid $35 for that game and put 32 hours into it to beat it, so that was really good. You know, it's, again, I kind of wish that we could blame our shit on, oh, it's a stray object of power driving people crazy. Nope, it's just people being crazy on their own.
Yeah, right, so.
Though, actually, Fuzz, I did, I shifted some of our Patreon stuff around, and we are $5 supporters of QAnon Anonymous, so you can download all their premium episodes.
Okay, so. Yeah, I hadn't heard of this show before, so I guess it was one you were already aware of them.
Yeah, like, it's in the same, like, I got into it in the same vein of, like, oh, it's Last Podcast on the Left. And it's like conspiracy theories and stuff, if the, you know, from the skeptic perspective, and, you know, look at these people, they're so weird, not on the believer type. But then it's like, oh my god, like, these people believe this. These are real ass people that believe this. And, like, they've gone to some of these, like, in-person rallies and, like, just interviewed people and asked them generic questions and let them, like, just run their mouths. So, like, there's a lot of episodes that they've talked about. And, like, there's some that are just on, like, topics. The apocalyptic communism one about John Posadas. So you can read about or hear a podcast about apocalyptic communism, where we would get our fully automated luxury earth communism after nuclear war, and the surviving proletariat would rise up and institute global communism through the help of dolphins and aliens.
So what's the problem?
What?
I said, okay, so where's the problem?
Oh, there really isn't, but it was one of those things that, like, he is, like, the fourth Trotskyist International, and, like, just, this was all in the 70s. There was probably lots of drugs involved. It was in South America. Like, you know, America came in and fucked everybody over with that. So, fuck you, CIA. You did it again, you assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, you can
fucking weird.
You can learn about some really interesting things through some of these podcasts that are, like, factual, but also very weird. And, like, when you know these things, you can't unknow them very easily. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
with enough hard work, dedication, and bottles of Jack Daniels, you can do anything.
I'm afraid to listen to more of this podcast then, because I'm like, I don't know how much of this I need in my head.
Hey, I mean, I admit that, like, I'm kind of behind on a lot of my podcasts, so, like, there's some where I've just gotta, I've had to just not drop them, but just give up on listening to them because they're current event type shows. And so, like, if people aren't listening to, like, this podcast, and it's like, oh, well, you know, I don't blame you because we're kind of current events. So if you miss a week, no big deal. But, like, for the ones where it's like, oh, this is a topic that is going to stick, or it's like, it's a history thing, or you're wrong about this topic, that's easy to go back to. But when it's like, we're doing a call-in show and talking about, you know, this crazy shit that happened in Ohio local politics and talking about bad bosses at thing, it's like, it's kind of, I just have to say, well, I don't have 3 hours to listen to that.
Right. Yeah. And especially in 2020 time, where there's a fire hose of information about things that are happening, and an hour from now, it'll all be different. It's like the fucking weather in Texas, you know? Just, except the old adage of, if you don't like the weather, wait an hour, doesn't really apply in this case. You know, it's like, if you don't like the current Trump conspiracy, wait an hour. There's a worse one.
Yeah, because apparently there was a... he did a rally tonight where he was apparently, like, drugged as shit, and...
what does Badger say? It's like a, something about, like, an old man being on meth.
Yeah, and I will get the highlights. If by highlights, I mean, I'll have somebody type about it, and I'll be like, wow, that's fucking wild.
Yeah, I cannot bear to listen to that man speak, you know? So it's honestly really hard for me to, like, go back and be like, well, what crazy shit did he say?
Oh, yeah, that's me. I don't want to listen to his voice at all, so.
It's just so disturbing to me. I don't know, it's like this sort of visceral, like, oh my God. Like,
don't you know Antifa want to blow up Mount Rushmore?
The thing is, I don't know if that's something you just pulled out of your ass to joke about, or if that's something he actually said. I have no way of knowing, which is it?
I think that he actually did slur, you know, his way through a statement about that, kind of. And I'm like, well, that would be a good start. They're, like, so tiny and ugly on the actual nice sacred mountain of that Native American tribe. So, yeah, we should give their land back to them and blow off the faces of those presidents and let them, like...
I'd be fucking fine with that. I'd be fine if we just stop putting up statues of people.
Yeah.
Because people, you know, even the best of us have these other sides. And, like, and we've discovered this, you know, listening to stuff about historical people, where it's like, oh, this person who was known for doing this really, really good thing, well, he was also really shitty in this regard, but it was also in the circumstances. And then it's like, you know what? People are multifaceted. People have conflicting and complex internal lives. And, you know, maybe we should just stop putting up statues of them, you know? Because they're like, well, what are they coming after the statues of Washington and Jefferson because they owned slaves? It's like, well, they owned slaves. They, you know, they clearly had some good ideas and did some good shit in their lives, too. But, yeah. They owned slaves during a time when there were other people alive that were like, slavery is immoral and you shouldn't be doing this. So it's not like they grew up at a time when, hey, slavery for everybody, everyone agrees. It's like, nah, you know, that wasn't the case. It's like, so maybe we shouldn't have statues of Washington and Jefferson, you know? I don't know.
I mean,
I don't even know anymore.
We have a basically pretty fucked up civic religion. American civic religion is actually like a thing, the way like we're raised to believe in all these essentially bullshit things.
The story of America. It is this
with asterisk
idealized fairy tale version of it, you know. And then they met the Native Americans and they shared corn with them. And then we won't talk about the Native Americans after that.
And then at some point the buffalo disappeared. We don't know why.
Right, yeah. God. Hashtag Open Texas is trending. Because there, of course, there are also people like, no, dumbasses, don't do it. And saying that we can't open Texas, right? But the fact that it's even like trending is just like Governor Abbott.
Yeah. Well, honestly, like, I followed Tilton's advice and literally used uBlock Origins element blocker to just basically block the elements that feed you the trending topics and news topics. I don't see that shit on the side of my thing. I don't see whatever random thing that is being inundated by, that was started by white supremacists and being inundated by, you know, K-pop stans. I don't see the hashtag open Texas. I don't see the fucking pictures of news where Trump says, you know, Antifa stole his anus. or whatever. Like, it makes Twitter marginally better to use.
Thank you. I needed a laugh.
Actually, here's something that is nice that was, like, pleasant to see and experience on the internet. Like, Undertale came out 5 years ago. It was the 5th anniversary.
I heard about this. Yeah.
It's a video game. It's pretty good. I really liked it 5 years ago. And I still really like it because the music's really good. And for its 5th anniversary, they put on a live stream of the 5th anniversary concert that was recorded last year. But it was recorded and they put it out as a premiere on YouTube. So you basically watched it as it was being uploaded kind of thing. And it was really neat because they did orchestral arrangements of basically the entire soundtrack. And, you know, ended with the Genocide Route bosses. And, you know, the last song they played is Megalovania. So if you've played the game and you know what that song is, that was kind of hype because, you know, it's these people, you know, playing this big bombastic things and then like using a electronic keyboard that you do and then go into it. But it was almost kind of like a meme because people would do that where it's like they'd fake you out but like play a song and then like the first four notes of that song that do-do-do-do and people be like, oh my god, it's Undertale. But what's cool is that the video is actually still up to watch and it's like 2 hours of music. It's really pleasant. Like, if you appreciate or like the Undertale, regardless of the fan base or anything about it, the music's really good. And you can just put that on the background. It was really nice to experience a thing online on Twitter where everyone could just get into it. It gave me a little bit like, you know, the E3 or like the big video game reveals where it's like everybody on my timeline is tweeting about this thing excitedly and everyone's like, yeah, that's cool. And so this was just people being happy about hearing music played by like 60 Japanese musicians in an orchestra. composer Toby Fox was like, oh, I need to make a song for my video game. Here, I'll put it together in 20 minutes and using sounds I downloaded for free. And then like me listens to them to a full orchestra arrange that beautifully and play it for 50,000 people. Me. Cool. So, yeah, it was really nice. It made the world feel a little bit better for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice you can go back and listen to it. I'll put that as my one cool thing for the week.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you know, everything else aside, it's like, yeah, there's some video game shit this week. There's the video card stuff. But hey, the Undertale thing was really nice. Everybody listened to that and had a good time. And there was lots of fan art that people made for the 5th anniversary of the game coming out. Cool. That's
can't believe that's been 5 years already.
Yeah, and like, and people were like, why are people nostalgic for a game that's only 5 years old? And I'm like, I had a little bit of hope back then, and I miss it.
Yeah, I saw those conversations, and I was like, yeah, that's true. Like, wow, nostalgia for a time before the 2016 election.
You know, in 2015, I was playing this game and feeling good about it. Like, I streamed the entire game, and you can catch that entire VOD up on YouTube still and see my genuine reactions to story beats because I was playing the game blind and doing it in, like, a seven-hour chunk and being like, oh my god, at certain stuff, at points, you know? So...
You didn't do the gamer overreaction one?
No, what? I was just you know, towards the end when shit's going bad and everything seems lost, and I'm like, did I fuck up? Did I do it? And then it's like dialogue. It's like, you know, you can't save your game, but perhaps if you can save something else, and then the song kicks in and you have to do more mini games thing, but this is to getting like the true ending of the game. And it's like, oh my God, it's so hype. It's hype like the gay little frog in Final Fantasy.
I don't know what that means.
So in Final Fantasy 14, the current expansion, like the first dungeon, you're fighting a rampaging monster, and the second dungeon, you're chasing after a gay little frog to get a fairy crown. And then that gay little frog shows up in the final dungeon of the expansion, or the final, currently final dungeon. And when he does so, it's incredibly hype because he's like on your side this time. You're not beating the big frog down. He's on your side and helping you fight the summoned ghosts. So it's like...
Oh, so speaking of video games, so apparently there's a game called Hades.
Yes, that game is cool as hell.
Okay, so the Can You Pet the Dog Twitter account tweeted today, you can pet the dog in Hades.
You can indeed pet Cerberus.
Yeah, it's got a little video of it, and it's super cute.
Yep.
I posted that in the fan chat.
Yes, Cerberus
on Twitter
is a good boy. Despite being the guardian of hell, of Hades.
Well, someone's got to guard it, right?
And you can also bring him treats.
Aw.
and he gives you gifts back for it. Yeah, Hades is super good. It just hit 1.0. It came out on the Switch today. It's by Supergiant Games, came out a bit ago, and it was Epic exclusive for a while, but now that it's hit 1.0, it's also on Steam and on Switch. Mm-hmm. And Supergiant's the same people that did Bastion and Transistor, which were both mm-hmm. very pretty action games, and this one is no different. Like, the art of the characters of the various gods
I noticed
just
that
beautiful.
Just in that little clip that like the colors are really bright and vibrant.
Yeah, like the animations are really good. The character interactions, like, there's a whole swath of gods of Olympus that are represented in the game, and they mm-hmm. all have various voice lines, and like you can encounter various people that have been condemned to Hades, like Eurydice and the boulder guy. Shit, I can't remember his name. The
what is it, Odysseus or something?
No.
Or the guy that's pushing a boulder up
up the hill for eternity. You run into him. The thing is, the dialogue doesn't repeat, and like mm-hmm. there's so many lines and so many interactions, and like the more you talk to people, they have new lines each time. You like, when you die, you go back to the house of Hades, you talk to the people again, and like, oh, if you see, you know, Eurydice's boyfriend who tried to rescue you from Hades and then faltered at the last moment and got condemned to hell, he's like the court musician for
Sisyphus.
Sisyphus is the boulder guy.
Yes, yes. I just Googled it.
Orpheus was married to Orpheus, a legendary musician poet. Okay, there. Ugh. It's like, I last played it before it hit 1.0, so my brain's a little rusty.
Mm-hmm.
Whose isn't? But yeah, like, you free Orpheus, and then you can encounter Eurydice, and like, as you go, you talk to Orpheus and them, like, you try to, you know, you're trying to at least have Orpheus forgive himself and get Eurydice to be like, yeah, I don't hate you, even though I am kind of stuck here. So, like, that's new. Like, you have the various gods all have dialogues when you pick them up. Pick, you know, because their boons come down. And it's like, oh, you know, it's the Zeus is here and he's got a line for you. Or Apollo's got one. Or Artemis. Or, you know, insert Greek god here. And they all have very distinct personalities. It's cool as hell. Like, I like this game a lot. It's another one of those that it hasn't hit like Binding of Isaac levels for me, but now that it's hit 1.0, I need to give it another shot on like streaming, because I've really enjoyed it so far. Now there's been two major patches since I last played it. That's kind of the problem with early access games. You play them for a little while and then, oh, well, I've played this for 20 hours and then I stopped playing it even before it got fully completed. So that came out today. You can pet the dog. It's very pretty. The boys are all very pretty. The girls are very pretty.
Everyone is very pretty.
Death, Thanatos is hot.
Jeez. yeah, furries going through the catalog of husbandos. You mean the monster manual? speaking of mythology, I saw you remember, I don't remember the character, but the guy that first to be chained to a rock and what is it, an eagle that tears out, or a crow that
eats
tears
his, out liver. His liver.
Yeah, I saw it a quote or something like, same crow, different liver.
Yep.
And a same shit, different day kind of thing.
Yeah, Supergiant Games makes really pretty good shit, and like they've been posting a bunch of fan art today. And yeah, Thanatos, one of the brothers of your main character, he's the son of Nyx, goddess of night, and your character is the son of Hades and Persephone, pretty
and
sure.
You have to stop him from getting the Infinity Stones, right?
No, I do think there is like a romance subplot where your guy can hook up with Thanatos, because he's gay and pretty, and I'm like, hell yeah, man. But yeah, look into the art of Hades, and I'm sure you'll appreciate it. Very pretty.
Cool, cool. So I finished the book I was reading last week. I started another one that I actually heard about on a industry publishing podcast I listened to. It is called Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead. It is by Olga Karza. It's a Swedish, I think, translation? No, Poland, sorry. She's Polish, and it takes place in like a tiny village in Poland during the winter. It's a murder mystery type book, but it's basically about this character who's is described as a batty old lady, and it actually won and was nominated for a couple of major book awards. It won the Man Booker International Prize, so that's it's considered a literary fiction, but you know, like I said, there is a a mystery involved, and I like mysteries and should read more of them. So that's what I'm doing when I have time.
Hey, we gotta find something to do. And yeah, like I said, I streamed all of Control. Now I'm done with that. I'm going to probably try streaming some Hades, try streaming Super Mario 64 PC. I've found a way to mod that shit all to hell. So the game looks like you believed it looked like in your teens. It's like, wow, right. It's just like I remember it. And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Your memories are a lot higher fidelity than what we actually had on, what, the Super Nintendo?
Nintendo 64.
Nintendo 64, yeah.
Yeah,
it was a console I never had, actually.
Me either. So it's like, wow, I'm having to get used to this.
You jumped right to the GameCube then, I guess?
I had Atari 2600, NES, SNES, PlayStation, GameCube, Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Switch, PlayStation 4. That's my list of consoles. So, like, I skipped a few things in there, and the N64 was not one that I had.
Yeah. I mean, especially when you're growing up and you're kind of broke.
Yeah,
sometimes you're not going to get every console, and you have to pick, like, one brand each time, you know, because you can't afford to get, like, all of them. Yeah.
Actually, I also forgot PlayStation 2. My PlayStation 2 that's sitting on my shelf over here, currently powered off, is legally an adult now.
Wow.
It is a fat PlayStation 2.
Is that the one that was
heavily modded?
Yeah. Yeah, it's got like a shitload of games on the hard drive.
The hard drives could only be a certain size, and it was a specific brand of Western Digital drives that were finicky. Like, the fact that this thing will turn on and boot and play games is kind of a miracle.
Yeah.
It still does.
Oh, here's another topic that you are much more qualified to talk about than I am.
Uh-huh.
So apparently the next generation of consoles has been announced, and I know that the two versions of the Xbox have confusing names and have, it sounds like you need a fucking flowchart to figure out whether your older game will be able to play on each particular one.
Yeah.
The PS5 has been announced. Nintendo hasn't announced a new one from what I'm...
Not yet.
I haven't heard of it.
Give them time.
So I saw some gushing today in the show chat where people were mostly like, oh, there's no exclusives that I'm really must have. So I might just say, fuck it, sit out this generation of consoles and keep PC gaming. So what are your thoughts on the consoles that have been announced so far of the next generation and that, basically? Go.
Okay, well, so both Microsoft and Sony did big video streams in the past week. Xbox had their price leak, so they officially announced the price points for the two systems, the Xbox Series S and the Xbox Series X. They just need to have the Series E and the in between there at some point, so they can have the Xbox Sex. Ha ha ha. So the Xbox Series S is the smaller of the two. It's $300. Does not have a disk drive, so it's digital only. It has like a half terabyte hard drive in it, or SSD, fancy ass SSD. And that is designed to pair with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which allows you to download and play just a ton of games digitally. Like, it's all digital. So
does it have like a micro SD card or anything for games?
It does have an expansion port for like additional SD cards and the like, so yeah. It does have expandable memory, but this thing is smaller than the current Xbox One, and is backwards compatible to some Xbox One games. So this is where I'm like, the terminology does get confusing. So the Xbox Series S will play Xbox One games to a degree, but only to us upgraded to a certain bit. Because basically everything Microsoft is putting out at this point is just, it's a modified Windows PC. Just they're specialized PCs. And so they'll play certain games, like they're only going to output in like 1080p. They're not going to do the 4K gaming. It's not going to be like playing it on a high-end PC. It is a more basic console, but it's only $300. The Xbox Series X is this black mini fridge looking thing that is $500, has the disk drive, has a bigger hard drive, and has a higher tier of components in it. So that's the Xbox Series X, not the Xbox One X, right? And yeah. It will play the previous gen games in higher fidelity overall. So the primary difference is $200. Like, it's the difference between buying like a slightly lower end PC and a higher end PC. That's really about it.
So does the Series X do 4K then?
Yeah, it does 4K, and it's going to have like onboard ray tracing. It's basically a specialized PC gaming being sold at a loss.
Right.
Then they make it up on the back end.
Because they make their money on the subscription and on the game sales.
Yeah. I pay for the Xbox PC Game Pass. That lets me play a good number of games day one. Like, they just recently put a couple of bomb-ass games on Xbox PC Game Pass. The new Wasteland RPG, Wastelands 3, they put the new Crusader Kings game. And what's cool about that is that I've promoted it before, is like, it lets me play these games that I would never otherwise play, because I'm not going to drop $50 to be like, do I like this? But if I'm paying them $5 and soon to be $10 a month, I can download it, play it, and if I don't like it, I can just delete it. I did that with a couple games where I was like the Yooka-Laylee sequel, where it was like a Donkey Kong Country, but they hate the voices of the characters in the game. There's wow, 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 wow. I was like, fuck off. I don't like it. So that's basically the Microsoft side. Their primary strength is that they also have a 0% financing plan, where if you basically you pay X a month, and you're also paying for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. They're paying like $25 a month for 2 years, and you get the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, and you pay off the console.
Right.
So they make money off people not paying it off and them having to return the units, and they also make, so they kind of get you for 2 years of paying $15 a month for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. That's where they're making their money. And it's $35 a month for the Xbox Series X. But even then, that's a lot more affordable than expecting people to drop $500 or $300 off the gate. But it is also moving people away from owning their shit. It's more, you pay money to get access to shit. So like, there is a dark side to this, obviously. Like, you don't own stuff that's on Netflix. It can go away. It does go away. So if you miss it, it's gone. It's like, why do you buy physical discs of Disney properties? Because when they go in the Disney vault, they're not necessarily going to show up on Disney Plus. You just have to pirate it. So that's the Xbox side of things. The PlayStation 5, they had their reveal yesterday, and they showed off the new Demon's Souls remake, Final Fantasy 16, a couple other things like that. Their price points are $400 and $500 for no disc drive and a disc drive. PlayStation Plus members are getting access to a similar but smaller slate of things like the Xbox Game Pass, but for PlayStation. It's like PlayStation Plus Collection or whatever, and it's primarily Sony first party games, whereas Microsoft is a little prior.
Sorry, has that been a thing for a while? Because I hadn't heard of them having a subscription plan before. Is that a new thing?
PlayStation Plus is similar to like Xbox Live. You had to pay $5 a month or whatever to be able to play games online through their service. And to sweeten the deal, they would give you various games. Like, oh, here's a, you can download the Nathan Drake collection and claim it for free, and it's yours to play as long as you're paying us $5 a month. You don't own it, but it's on your account, so as long as you're paying us, you can get these games. I mean, that's how I got Bloodborne. I played Bloodborne, and really wish it would come out on PC.
Video games as a service, basically. Yeah,
video games as a service. TV as a service. Everything is a service. We don't own our shit. On one hand, it's convenient. You get access to all this shit, but when you stop paying for it, you don't have it anymore.
Right.
But yeah, the Sony difference is that there's, like, $400 one gets no disc drive, $500 one has the disc drive. The controllers are $70, the games are $70. Like, to purchase shit in this generation is going to be more expensive. And I'm just like, well, there's nothing on either one of them right now that I have to play. And so I just want to focus on surviving the next 6 months, honestly.
Yeah,
Yeah, like, I'd like to survive past the election inauguration of the next president, and hopefully it's Joe Biden.
Right.
So, like, let's focus on that, and then maybe consider a console later in 2021. Because, like, the Final Fantasy 16 reveal was just, like, a teaser trailer, and, like, we'll tell you more in 2021. Mm-hmm. Great.
That's always the thing with new consoles. If they don't have a pretty packed slate of launch day, it's like, for more casual gamers, there's not really a big impetus to drop $500 on day one.
Yeah, and even for PC gamers, it's like, you know, the card, there's the people that are rabid and, you know, sending mods death threats, and then there's me, there's like, if I could get one, great, but I'll get it when it comes across, you know, whatever. I didn't get a PlayStation 4 until Shiva's boss upgraded his, and I bought it off him for a couple $100. It was like $200 for
the base
model PS4s that I've got, and it works fine, you know, it plays video games.
Yeah.
But also, like, it came out in like 2014, so it's actually like six years old at this point, which is weird to think.
Oh my god, our PS3 is probably quite old then.
The PS3 came out in 2006, man.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I bet we bought it. It's either 06 or 08 or somewhere around there, which, because I wanted a Blu-ray player.
Yeah.
And a streaming device. That's the last console. Well, okay, I was going to say that's the last console we bought, but it isn't. I got here in a Switch this year, so you can play Animal Crossing.
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, the reason why people were buying PlayStation 3s as Blu-ray players is that because it was a Sony first-party product, it would always be up-to-date with whatever Blu-ray drivers came out, whereas third-party cheap ones would not necessarily get any updates once they hit the shelves.
Well, also, at the time, there really weren't many. There weren't any third-party cheap ones. There were other Blu-ray players, but they were all more expensive than the PS3. So the PS3 was like, I think it was like a big boss leader when it first came out, if I recall, because Blu-ray technology was still ridiculously expensive. And it was like, hey, I'm buying a Blu-ray player that happens to also play video games and be a media streamer from my computer network. So it made a lot of sense at the time. Of course, nowadays you can get a Blu-ray player for like $30.
Well, you know, at least we didn't buy 3D televisions and HD DVD players, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, those definitely didn't really take off. I know the industry really wanted 3D TV to take off, but I think it's always been something that, like, Hollywood movie producers have been way more fascinated by than consumers have been. Because I know, even when I see movies in the theater, that, like, oh, you can see it in high definition 4K, or you can see it in 3D, I'm always like, I just 2D's fine. You know, like, I saw all the Avengers movies in 2D, and it was great.
Yep. Say, they just throw stuff at the walls. I mean, remember curved monitors, curved televisions? Those aren't really a thing anymore as much. So,
oh, really?
Like,
I never owned one. I know I've seen some people post pictures of their monitors that are, like, the big curved ones.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never got a TV like that.
It's like, is the thing that we have still working? I mean, I only upgraded my monitors from old-ass NECs, like, last year, and Panther and I still have the same projector that we bought back when Texas Instruments was making DLP projectors, and that was the hot shit. We bought that thing, I think, 14 years ago. Still works, so why upgrade?
Yeah.
You know? Oh, God.
So, my mom has been deceased for 9 years, and the current TV in the living room was my mom's TV. So it's at least 9 years old. It's probably something like 12 years old, and it's working fine. And we're actually only upgrading it now because Ajax won one of the TVs in his office in a raffle.
Yeah.
So, like, our current TV set, my mom's, is I think 48 inches, and the new one that he won is 56 and newer, so it's a significant size upgrade. But, like, my mom's TV is still working fine. It doesn't have any dead pixels. The sound works, but we don't even use the sound on it. I have a sound bar for that anyway. So I don't even know how old my monitors are. They're at least 5 or 6 years old. It's like, yeah. I mean, apart from, like, cell phones, I really don't bother upgrading tech that much until it's, like, too slow to function anymore, or physically stops working. Speaking of which, I did go ahead and pre-order myself an Apple Watch Series 6, because I have a Series 3 right now, so I figured I'd skip the previous two generations. It added a lot of additional functionality, including the EKG, the blood oxygen sensor, the fall detection, the always-on display, and it's a lot more powerful chip that has is more energy efficient, so it lasts longer. And the new one also has an official sleep app on it, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yep.
But yeah, I haven't bought a new Apple Watch since the Series 3, because I was like, this one works fine, and I didn't have a real compelling reason to upgrade. Although I have beat the hell out of it. Luckily, is not missing a big chunk of glass or anything like that, but it does have a few scrapes on it.
Hey.
How's yours holding up?
My watch? It's pretty good. Like, I have the Series 3, same generation as you. Panther just got me a Melanie's Loop band for it as a just a gift. It's the magnetic metal loop. So, like, it's the... Okay. Like kind of flexible chainmail-y wristband with a magnet that holds it onto your wrist, which is better than the cloth workout band one that I got that I had to like pop off and wash every week or so because it got stanky.
Yeah.
You can't sweat on metal as much.
Right.
Say no to stinky watch bands. Mm-hmm. Well, Fuzz, we're past 90 minutes on this. We should probably wrap it up. It's also nearly 11 p.m. I know we don't have exactly hot plans for the weekend, but, you know.
I might sit in a different room in my house.
Hell yeah.
Time in there. Well, the patios are done. I can sit on the patio furniture again.
Yeah, you can get the hookah out there and, you know, have a little bit of a breeze and sit with the dog. I've been sitting with my dog because he, like, leans his head up and looks at me like, what?
Oh, good. My dog a chair.
Yeah. Well, my dog just curls up at my feet. Your dog, he wants a chair and, like, his own hookah hose. So, yeah, it's been another week. Hopefully this weird rambly podcast hasn't been too hard on your ears.
Yeah, my bad. This one, we kind of just went with the flow. And honestly, I think Zavid and I need that every now and then. It's like, let's just talk about whatever pops into our head.
Yeah, I mean,
it's 90 minutes of nightmare fuel.
It's not that we're, like, ignoring this shit, but we're also confident that the listeners of this podcast are connected enough to know that, like, anything we talk about, you've already heard about, right? Like,
pretty much, yeah.
Unfortunately, nothing we talk about of our nightmare hell world current events is going to be news to many people, but probably some of the more esoteric shit like the QAnon Anonymous podcast stuff and John Posadas and the like is something you wouldn't necessarily hear. And my personal anecdote of going to Best Buy briefly and being like, so did you guys get any of them? And then being like, no. I mean, that's a personal anecdote. I went into a store. Like, what the fuck? It wasn't a grocery store. I'm living on the edge out here, man.
I went to a store not long ago, too. I went to Smoke in Peace because I ran out of shisha.
Oh, yeah.
And I got some of the macchiato shisha.
Oh, that sounds
delicious.
Good.
It is. It's really good. It smells delicious. It tastes like it sounds as well.
Nice.
Yeah.
And like, I've been out of my little CBD gummies for a while now, and it's like...
Yeah, I picked up a bottle of them as well. You should totally go get some of those.
They're really good for knocking yourself offline for about 8 hours.
Yeah, they're good for, like, to make me, like, not wake up. At all in the middle of the night. Like, once I'm asleep, I'm deeply asleep and I feel a little bit more rested in the morning. Maybe it stops me tossing and turning as much. I've been taking more, like, sleep aids this year, and I think that's just an effect of this year, you know?
Yep, I mean,
I don't take them all at the same time, but I have a closet right now. You know, I have Z-Quil, I have melatonin, and the aforementioned CBD gummies. You know, don't mix and match those. But, you know.
No, take them all and then add in a Benadryl and just log off for a day.
Yeah.
What was that image? It was like the Ultra Z-Quil where it's like knocks you out for a year.
I feel like I've seen that, but fuck, I could use that. They're at least for the next 6 months.
Yeah.
Wake up in February in time for my birthday and be like, who's the president? Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, you can find us on twitter.com at SouthPawsCast. You can email us, southpawscast@gmail.com. If you have any tales of trying to get a hold of a video card that are interesting anecdotes, feel free to let us know. Write in, tell us that we're a bunch of old weirdos and don't know anything about video games, because I kind of don't. Be hype about Monster Hunter and all the new monster boyfriends that they're going to be. They've added dogs to go with the cats now.
So what's Monster Hunter?
It's a video game that's...
I thought that's what they called Pokemon.
No.
It translates it's to... Huh?
Pocket Monsters is Pokemon.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Monster Hunter really is exactly what it says on the tin, where you're a monster hunter who hunts monsters. It's a very long-running series, and this is the new one that's coming to the Switch. And it's like, gamers, holy shit, I can't wait to kill all these new monsters and make sweet armor. Furries, oh my god, look at all these new monsters to make into boyfriends.
I love this fandom.
They added a big fat frog one, they've added a edgy dragon, they've added a bird, you know. There's so many monsters that people can be horny for. It's amazing.
What a world we live in.
Yep.
What a world we live in.
As for me, you can see my snark on twitter.com @SavrinDrake. You can find me on Twitch @Savrin, just twitch.tv/Savrin, or finnick.top, where you can, for the time being, see pretty much the entirety of my run of Control. And I'm probably going to stream some more Hades now that the game has hit 1.0. It's a very pretty game, and I want people to see it. Obviously, I'm not some big influencer, but I'm like, yo, look at this shit. It's really pretty, and the gods are hot. And that's pretty much it for me.
You found my personal Twitter is just Fuzzwolf. You can also follow my company Twitter, which is FurPlanet. Go to FurPlanet.com for physical books and media, and BadDogBooks.com for ebooks. Regarding FurPlanet, I have a few copies here and there of more and more things as a distributor from different publishers, and just anything I might think is interesting. I've got quite a bit of the Beastars manga still in stock, and I've also got some called Interspecies Reviewers. They have a light novel now. Did you know that?
No, but that's also not surprising.
Yeah, and apparently the light novel is actually based on the anime rather than directly from the manga, because I guess there's probably some small characterization, character differences and stuff like that. So yeah, we have a light novel that's based on the anime. I thought that was interesting, thinking of checking it out myself.
Very cool.
Amongst all the other million books I've got to read yet. But yeah, that's basically me. You can find the show on Patreon also, patreon.com/southpawscast. If you want to support us, yay. Thank you to all of our supporters. We've really appreciate you. I think we've got like $69 an episode, and I kind of think that it's stalled out there because nobody wants to be the person that breaks the nice.
All right, well, so we're gonna wrap it up for that for now. On that note, good night
and wash your hands
and hang in there, y'all.